Welcome to Hillard Church of the Nazareth. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Your mercy never fails me. all my days. I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. I will sing of the goodness of God.
You're so good. would, turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. As you're turning there, I've got to praise that I'm out of the sling, finally. Last Friday, I got out of it, and it is great to be free, right? I may have overdone it a little bit with the men's group, but that was a great men's group. And I tell you what it was about and what happened there, but what's said at men's group stays at men's group. So we don't share that. But I also have to praise Sandy's here, right? We praise God for that. And Daniel's here, fresh from the ER, right? I saw Clarence is here, so we praise God. He does answer our prayers. John chapter 5, last week I preached on an encounter that Philip had with this Egyptian eunuch, right? Philip, not the disciple, Philip the lay leader, the lay minister that was one of the seven called to feed widows. That man followed the prompting of the Holy Spirit and was able to lead that Egyptian eunuch to Jesus Christ. He was able to share the good news with him. The crux of my sermon was, hey, we need to allow ourselves to be stretched. We need to listen for the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and we need to follow that no matter what it is, no matter how awkward it is, no matter how weird it is, right? We need to do that. God calls us out of our comfort zones, and all too often, we don't want to be stretched. We don't, and so we ignore it. We just do, right? Somebody else will tell my neighbor about Jesus Christ. Somebody else will do it. That's at least the excuse that I've given. I wish I could tell you that I'm great at this, but it's hard. It's fearful at times. It's awkward at times, but it is so good to be in step with the Holy Spirit. Lydia is in band, my daughter, and she plays the flute. She's going to be a senior this year. And last year, she was invited to go to the Firelands Conference Honors Band and play in that recital. Is it recital? I don't know. Symphony, recital, whatever it is. They invite different kids, though, from different schools, and they join together in and play and put on a concert. Well, I noticed that everybody at that was just playing, kind of just playing their instruments, and it sounded all jumbled up and everything like that. But then all of a sudden, it got really quiet. And somebody blew a note, and please excuse me if I'm using the wrong terms. I'm not a band person. I'm not good with music, right? That's the domain of my wife. But somebody blew a note, and after that, it was like everybody started to tune their instruments to that note that was played. They all got on the same page, right? I was looking at this tuning. Apparently, all notes have frequencies. There's a large spectrum of sounds at different levels, low frequency to those that we can hear, to ultrasound and even beyond our hearing. In America, I read that symphonies tune to A, and the frequency is 440 hertz, right? That is the oscillation, 440 oscillations every single second, and everyone tries to tune their instruments to that one frequency. And I got to thinking, man, living the Christian life should be all about that, right? Living the Christian life is about turning our frequency, our tuning our lives to 440 hertz of the spiritual world, to the voice and the prompting of God. That's what I mean by that. Think about this, right? Once 440 is established, the conductor comes in and raises their baton, and the symphony begins to play. And the cool thing is that everybody's playing a different instrument. I mean, there's the same instruments, but there's so many different instruments playing together. Everybody has a different part to play, but everyone is playing the same song at that tune of that one frequency. Right? And this is an amazing picture of what the church should look like today, right? This is what God is inviting you and me into. Now, we can ignore that. We can reject that. We can play our own tune. We can tune our lives to it. Or we can join in with other believers and in especially with God in His symphony. That's what I pray we do as a church. Right? Today, I want to challenge you to tune your lives to that 440 hertz, if you will, to the voice of God. And that invitation primarily comes through one spiritual discipline. That discipline is what we refer to as a quiet time. It's about getting to a place alone or where we can quiet our mind and quiet the world, quiet the things that are around us so that we can hear that note that's being played and tune our lives to that. It's all about hearing the voice of God, right? The prompting of the Holy Spirit and tuning our lives to that frequency. In a church, I'm going to play a different instrument than you. I've got different sheet music than you have. My sheet music's going to look different. But that's a good thing. Nobody wants to hear 40 oboes. Even if they're all playing the same thing, nobody just wants to hear that. We want to hear a bunch of different music instruments. And my friends, you are an instrument of God. You are. I don't care who you are. You are. You need to get that. You need to see the beauty of that. You need to grab a hold of that, right? I don't care what label is on you. I know the labels. I know the scarlet letters that are on my life, right? But God made me a new creation. He called me out of that old life, right? And he gave me something new. And he has that for you, and I want you to grab a hold of it. I want you just to find joy in that. Do you have joy when you go to church? Do you have joy when you join in with other believers, right? Do you have joy when you serve? Even when it's hot and stinky and smelly, right? And you're painting picnic tables. Do you have joy when you're doing that because of the band of brothers around you, the band of sisters around you, right? It's just a cool, beautiful thing. Nobody wants to hear a bunch of instruments playing their own thing, like what we were talking about, Lanny, just doing your own thing, right? That just sounds garbled up. And that can be the church, but it's not as it is intended to be, right? We want to hear people come together, join together, and play that song. Now, what's the enemy do? The enemy wants to put you on a different frequency. The enemy wants you to play your own song, a selfish song. But we want to play the song of Jesus Christ. We want to follow him, right? I'm here to tell you that you're going to struggle to hear the voice of God without a real quiet time. You are. And some of you are thinking that just spending time in God's word is your quiet time. That's a good part of it. But if you're not willing to be tuned by it, by what you're reading, right, you're going to struggle in this life. You're going to struggle with anxiety. You're going to struggle with different things. Today, I just want to remind you that Jesus Christ himself was tuned to the voice of the Father completely, right? I want to start off and look at an account. It takes place in John chapter 5, verse 1. This is what it says. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, right? The thought was that there was an angel that would come and stir the waters, and then it was a mad dash. Whoever could get into the water first, that would be the person that would receive healing. The first one that got in, the first one that would be healed. This is one of the most painful and realistic pictures of a world without Jesus Christ. That's what it looks like. Verse 5, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, somebody else goes down ahead of me." You might think that Jesus at this moment would offer to help the guy get in the pool. Or he could have said, "You know, I'll see when that angel's coming. I'm going to give you a wink, give you a heads up, give you a sign, and just let you know as soon as you see that, right, start heading down because that angel is on his way." We might think that that would be what Jesus said, but Jesus had a much better solution, didn't he? Verse 8, then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. I'm wondering if there's anybody here today. Maybe you're approaching Christianity by thinking that it's dependent on you, that it's dependent on you doing something, right? That's what we see in this picture here, pre-Jesus. I'm wondering if anybody in here thinks salvation is dependent on you and how good you live, right? Depending on you climbing some mountain and being good enough to earn salvation. dependent on you being the first person. Maybe if you're the first person, the best person to get into the pool, maybe then you'll get your healing, right? But can you hear Jesus' words? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be set free? Do you want to have peace? Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want to be made whole? Right? You don't have to get in the water ahead of everyone. The living water has come to you this morning, right? Once that man was healed, he picked up his mat and walked. Sadly, though, look what happens. End of verse 9. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." Right? "Hey, you shouldn't be carrying your mat." "Oh, well, I haven't walked in 38 years and now I can walk." Right? Do you get that? Do you understand that? Right? Do you understand what's going on here? "Yeah, that's great, but yeah, you shouldn't be carrying your mat. That's work. And maybe watch the number of steps you take today, because you're only allowed to take so many on the Sabbath." Do you see? If there was ever a group of people that wasn't tuned to 440, right, it was these religious leaders. And anytime you say "these religious leaders," you better take stock of yourself, because we're the religious leaders today. We can be, at least. That's the danger that we need to be careful of, right? How many of us aren't tuning to 440 this morning? How many of us? We're tuned to ourselves, right? How many of us are not spending time getting alone so that we can hear that note that's playing, that voice from God that's directing our lives, that's asking us to tune to Him, right? This is the time to examine yourself. We've all been where the religious leaders were, and we've all missed out on the great things that God had done because we weren't at 440 hertz. Pure and simple, right? That thing that we complain about. Oh, God, forgive us. I knew this woman, and she told me a story of when she went to church. She invited a friend. She had been inviting this friend to come to church for a long time, and the friend finally came to church. But the friend wasn't dressed how you're supposed to come when you go to church. And instead of being full of joy that her friend came to church, right, she let her friend have it because she didn't match with what the church traditions were teaching there. Right? I could care less what you look like, what you're dressed like, right? Have some clothes on, you know? I don't want you coming naked. But I could care less, right? That's why we wear jeans here. That's why we wear t-shirts here. I don't want anybody thinking that they don't belong here. I don't want anybody to be not included because they can't afford maybe some kind of shirt or something like that, right? There's a guy who comes to our church that wears a hat. I don't think they'd mind me telling the story. But he wears a hat because he thinks somebody's going to tell him to take it off. And he's waiting for that, because we say, "Come as you are," right? And he's waiting for somebody in this church to just come up to him and tell him that. I've seen people give their lives to Jesus Christ with a hat on, right? And I've heard people have a problem with that. Are you kidding me? Right? I told that lady, "Man, who cares? Who cares what your friend was dressed like? She was there, man." We need to tune to 440, my friends. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost, right? That's our 440. Hey, religious leaders, did you hear me? 38 years, guys. I couldn't walk for 38 years, and you want me to focus in on the mat? That's what we've all done, though. And that's what we must fight not to do. We fight that by spending quiet times alone with the King of Kings, with the Lord of Lords, and tuning in to Him. Pure and simple, right? Verse 11, the man who made me well said, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, verse 12, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Slipped away. Jesus wasn't interested in fame and fortune, right? How many of us or how many people today would have been taking selfies with this person and posting it online saying, look what I did. Look what happened here, right? No, Jesus just slipped away. He was more interested in staying in tune with the Father, right? With the will of the Father. This man was the one the Father willed to heal this day. Verse 14, later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. There's truth, right? Truth. Grace, though, was before that. The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who made him well. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. Gosh, horrible thing, right? Man, healed somebody on the Sabbath. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave him this answer, very truly, I tell you, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. Are you tuning to the right frequency? Or are you just tuning to yourself, right? Man, I have to fight that. Jesus is clearly tuned to the Father. Watching and imitating. Man, our kids are watching and imitating, right? We better be tuned to Jesus when you have those sets of eyes on us. There's more than one frequency out there. You're naturally going to be tuned to your own frequency. A very selfish frequency. That's how we're born, right? Nobody has to teach a kid to be selfish. Nobody has to teach a kid to say no, and those are mine, right? We're naturally turned that way. Listen to John 8:38. This is Jesus talking to the religious leaders. I am telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your Father. Jesus was accusing them of doing what they heard their Father doing. Who did Jesus say was their father? Satan. That was their father, right? We're all tuned to something, Lanny, right? Or someone. Hopefully, God. But if not, we're probably tuned to ourselves or the enemy. Who are you tuned to? Who are you tuning to daily? That's what it has. It's not like a one-time thing where you come to the altar and you're automatically tuned from that day on to God. Right? It is a daily tuning. For some people, right, that need a little bit more grace like me, it is an hourly tuning. It is a minute tuning, right? Do you hear the voice, though? Do you have quiet times? Where you're saying, speak to me. Here I am, Lord. Speak to me. Right? Or is your life so chaotic and busy, you don't have time for it? That's the American way, right? We're busy. You better be busy. You better be earning everything. Have quiet times. Listen to the word, right? Don't just listen to it. Do what the word says. Jesus spoke what the Father told him to. He did what the Father was doing. He was perfectly tuned to the Father. They were singing the same song, right? How do you manage to do that in the flesh? Perfectly divine. He's all God, but he's also in the flesh, right? Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. How many times do we read that in the gospel? Jesus withdrawing, getting away, and spending time alone with the Father's. How many times do we see him having this quiet time? It's his way of life, right? Do you have room in your schedule? Are these times alone with God a priority in your life, in your schedule? Jesus would spend the whole night alone praying. I have never done that. Spent the whole night doing that. Last night, I almost did it because I couldn't sleep. It was a good time to pray. But that's how important it was for him. Of course he was in tune with his Father. Of course he was, right? And of course we aren't. Of course we aren't if we aren't spending time with him, listening, tuning our lives to him, adjusting to his way. How much do you want to hear the voice of God? These are questions we want to ask ourselves. I believe that is determined by the frequency, as in the amount of time that you spend with him. Get alone with him and adjust your frequency to his. In those times, like I said, we can't be merely hearers of the word. It does no good just to hear it, right? We have to be doers. We have to adjust our frequency. We need to listen. That's what Jesus did. Know this, it doesn't just happen by proximity, right? What do I mean? How many times do you see Jesus in proximity to his disciples? How many times do we see his disciples in proximity to Jesus? They spend over 3 years together, right? They spent a lot of time, but they weren't at 440 a lot of that time. Matthew 16, Jesus starts to let the group know that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of religious leaders. He tells them ahead of time what's going to happen. He tells them that he's going to be killed. He tells them on the third day that he's going to rise again. What's Peter's reaction? He takes them aside and rebukes Jesus. Really? Right? Never, Lord. God's plans didn't line up, or Peter's plans didn't line up with God, so he was going to tell Jesus how it was and what should happen, right? How's Jesus respond? Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the concerns of God, but merely of humans. They were in proximity, right? Man, they spent years with Jesus, but they weren't in tune. Peter was tuned into his plan, his will, his way, his idea of what the Messiah should be. Be careful, my friends. We all have ideas on what God should be, what God should do. But we need to be tuned to who he is. We need to align our will to his will. That's why we pray it, right? God's will be done, not ours. Peter meant well, but he was off. You can mean well, but be 100% off. Be careful, right? Put away your agenda. Put away your plan. Or really, it's not even yours. It's Satan's. Put it away. Tune into God. Coming to church, attending regularly, sitting in these chairs, great, right? But they won't tune you. They won't push you in the position that you need to be. They'll help you, hopefully, but you can't just be out there attending church. You got to be listening. You got to be applying. You have to have your own quiet time. You got to eat yourself, right? You can't just eat once a week. You have to tune your life regularly, daily. Pick up your cross daily. Die to yourself. That's what we need to do. We all need to die. Remember when you got baptized? Hey, we're going to have baptism, by the way, next Sunday. No church, right? Brent, I'm sure, told you. But we're going to have baptism there in downtown Willard. If you want to be baptized, let me know. I think it's going to be cool. I know of two people that want to be baptized. But anyways, that's the picture of baptism, right? Going under the water, dying to yourself. That can't just happen one time. It's got to happen daily, right? Maybe there's somebody in here that says today, I'd like to hear the voice of God. I'm convicted of that, but I really just don't know how to do it. And it starts with desire. We have to desire to spend more time with him and be tuned to him. You don't start off with that desire. I'll tell you, right? If a preacher tells you you're going to start off with that desire, it's just not true. But you can ask him to give it to you. And he will. It'll take time sometimes, but he will. And I would encourage you to be honest with him, right? Lord, I don't have a desire to hear your word. I've been in that spot. I've prayed that prayer. Lord, I could honestly right now care less. I'd much rather be playing video games. I'd much rather be watching this or making money or going shopping or doing whatever that thing is in your life, right? And maybe you pray, but Lord, I'm asking you to change that. That's my desire. That's not my desire. But Lord, would you change that? Would you change me? Would you create in me a clean heart? Would you create in me a desire in me that makes me want to hear from you, that the desires to be in your word, to spend time with you? Because honestly, I'm just not there right now. Do you know you can pray like that, right? When you ask him for that, believe that he'll give it to you and act on that. Act in faith, right? Carve out time. Discipline your life. Horrible word, discipline. I disciplined myself by starting to read through the Bible. Actually, my mom disciplined me, right? And then she made me. And then when I got on my own, though, I did it as well. That's a good place to start. But honestly, I can tell you right now, I love spending time with God. I look forward to it. That wasn't always the case. 100%, right? But it is now. It's food. It's peace. It's a refreshing for my soul. It's not something now that I have to do. It's something that I actually want to do, that I crave to do, that if I don't do, man, I feel like something is just off in my life. Definitely, 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 definitely didn't start off that way. Started off as discipline. Something I had to do, made myself do, because I did it in faith, knowing that through that, things would change, right? I've noticed that I've grown in these areas and desire them much more. I don't desire other things as much. The other things are growing dimmer, right? I have more peace. I have a place to run to in the storm, right? And the storms come often as a pastor, but I have the shelter to run to. And if I could give you anything, it'd be that. I want that for you. I want you to have a place that you know is safe, a place that you know you're accepted, that you're loved, that you can just run to and cling to a rock. Man, that's how I used to picture it. I used to picture it in my life, just clinging to the rock. I hope you have that. Now, with that being said, I still love Ohio State football. I still love the Chicago Bears. I can't wait for football season to come up. I'm going to watch me some football, right? But the distractions, the things of this life, they don't grab a hold of me as much as they used to. Their grip is getting weaker, right? The addictions that I've dealt with, right? And they still tug at me, far less though. And I found freedom from them, right? I used to be sitting in this church with those addictions, but man, I got freedom from them now. You can too. You can too. It's going to take some discipline. It's going to take a quiet time. It's going to take a desire. It's going to take you carving out time, but in time that will change, and you'll want to do it, and you'll love to do it, and you'll seek to do it, right? I believe I'm turning to my life to 440 more and more. Do I still got a ways to go? Heck yeah. Yeah, I don't know what number I'm at right now. There's good days and there's bad days, right? Some days I still get angry. I'm sure Adavi can testify to that. But hopefully less and less. Hopefully I'm doing a better job. Get someplace quiet. Just spend time. Well, I read the Bible and I don't understand what I'm reading. Pray that God would change that, right? And keep going with it. And believe that he will, right? If you don't believe that he will, you won't do it. If you believe that he will, he will. If you step out on faith, he's faithful. It takes time, though. He's probably going to see how serious you are. He might even do it on purpose. Let he who have ears to hear, hear. That's why he spoke in parables, right? Not everybody wanted to know the truth. Not what everybody wanted to hear. So he spoke in parables so that the ones who didn't want to know wouldn't hear the truth. Do you want to know it? Do you want to hear it? It's going to take time. You got to show them that you're serious about spending time with them, right? You can't tell your loved one, hey, I love you, but never spend time with them. That sends a completely different message, right? And don't think that I'm saying you'll earn anything. Don't think that I say thinking that, but spend time with them. The psalmist said, be still and know that I'm God. I want to have a calmness in my life. I want to have that, right? I want to have that calmness that makes room and enable that I can listen to that still small voice. I want to be part of a church filled with people that want the same thing, right? Let's get there. Come on, right? Let's roll. Let's spend time in there. Let's see what we can do. Not what we can do, what God can do through us when we're all tuned to 440. What if that happened? What if every one of us said today, we're going to start our quiet time and we're going to have it every day, right? What would God do through this church? What would God do in our community, right? In that dark place around us? That's what I want. His song, not my song, not what I want for this church. Man, I want to be on his page, and I haven't always been there. I want to be, though, right? I don't tell my wife what I'm preaching on. She doesn't tell me the songs that she's going to choose to sing, right? But how often does God line those things up? I don't know how many times God speaks to somebody and tells them something that lines up with the words that were spoken. I've seen so many Sunday school lessons line up with the message, right? I've had people come to me and say, man, I think you were listening to me in the car ride here, right? Because we were talking about that. Last Sunday, before Sunday school class, Lanny started to talk, and I had to tell him to be quiet because he was preaching my sermon, right? It's like there is a God who's speaking to more than just one person. We can be in tune with him. We can be in tune with each other. And what a beautiful symphony that would be. Amen? Will you tune in, though? Will you spend time? Will you make the decision today, right? Got anxiety in your life? Fearful of something for the future? Dealing with something that you can't just seem to let go? How's your quiet time? That's usually what I ask people. How's your quiet time? Right? Well, you know, I read the Bible a lot. Okay, good. Are you obeying it? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you seeking him? Right? Stand with me. I've been beating this message to death, haven't I? Quiet time. Time in God's word. Prayer. And some of us are still missing it. I think you tried, but you gave up. Get back up there, right? Get back on it, right? Start off disciplining yourself. Start off in faith, right? Trusting that God will do what he says he will do. Trusting that God will change your heart. Pray for that. Pray for a soft heart, right? Pray for eyes and ears that are open so that you can hear and step out on faith, right? There'll be no church symphony if we're not on board with this. Is there any room in your life? Are you listening? Are you tuning? I pray you wrestle with that the rest of this week. And I may pray you make a decision, right? Because it'll change your life. It'll change your life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your example of being perfectly in tune with the Father, doing only what you saw him do. Lord, if that's possible, make that us. Lord, I believe it is if we completely surrender our lives to you. There's a cost. There's a heavy cost to following you, but it is so good. Lord, I pray that you'd give people a glimpse of that. People that are living for the world and thinking that the world has what they offer, or a boyfriend or a girlfriend has what they offer, or a certain amount of money has what they think they need, right? I pray that you would just wreck that, that you would just flip these people, flip me upside down, and I pray that every day we would die to ourselves. We would pick up our cross and live for you. We would spend in time every day tuning to you, Lord, listening for that still small voice. Lord, give us the faith to do that. Give us the faith to continue spending time, even when it feels dry, even if it feels like our prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, Lord. Let us keep going in it, Father. Lord, we love you, and we give you all praise. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.